The Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. My name is Brandi Stankovic, and I am an organizational change consultant, and I have worked primarily in the past with financial institutions and nonprofits, and we're going to meet a CEO of one of those financial institutions here very shortly. But I'm also the mommy of a couple beefcakes, so we're actually going to see one of those little beefcakes today as well, which is really, really exciting. So today's episode is called The Leadership Proforma. And we have a awesome guest here with us. His name is Joe Schrader. He is a CEO, longtime CEO, and we're going to have some fun with him. But before we do, I want to intro you to the segments and kind of frame our discussion of the leadership proforma. So we have three segments in our podcast, as you are getting to know very well, because I'm sure you've listened to all of the other ones prior to this one. The first is the Learn segment. It's a leadership challenge or something that's happening in the businesses that I work with or the organizations that you, when you send information to us. The second is the Love section, It's relationships, it's team building, it's how to network and how to utilize subject matter experts to get some of that information. And the third is Kick Ass. It's all about execution. It's time to make things happen. Today is the day. Today is the day to change, to make things go differently, to start doing something differently. It's in execution that things are changed. It's in execution that differentiation is created. I was talking to a friend at dinner the other night about that very thing. It's not talent or being blessed or being a certain way that makes somebody different or special. What makes people special is hard work. What makes me good at my job is that I work harder than anybody else. What makes Joe awesome, we're going to learn about, is because he's worked his butt off for a very long time. And that's important. So the leadership pro forma today, you know, pro forma in general is a projection, right? We do pro formas when they're commonly used, as you may know, in forecasting. So we'll use them in business plans and strategic plans. We'll do them in order to find out what's going to happen in a financial standpoint, you know, out 5 years, 10 years, right? So we'll want to take a look at what's going to happen with, if we want to see what's going to happen in a business unit or what's going to happen in a contingency plan or something to that effect. And we often don't project our leadership enough. And what I mean by that is, say, what's going to happen in our lives in the next 5 and 10 years? I want to visualize what's going to occur in our lives. Now, we may set goals for ourselves or our family, but we don't like commit to this visualization and say, okay, I'm going to put it all in, set a pro forma, and then do a variance based on that, right? Now, let me show you an example of how powerful it could be if you did set a projection out 5 years. This is a picture of Morlakay Akinason. Now, by the time that you're listening to this production, you're probably going to have her, she's a household name, but she's a United States track and field runner. And in July 2011, she tweeted, "In 2016, I will be 22, graduated from a school I have not yet chosen, and I'm going to the Olympics." And here we are in 2016, and she wrote that she tweeted that 5 years ago, and she is going to graduate from Texas in December, and she's going to the Olympics next week. And she obviously tweeted that in July. And that's amazing. Like I said, by the time that you watch this, I bet that she's already won some events, or she certainly has competed in a couple of events. So by the time, you know, really that you're doing is go Morlakay, essentially. But what's so powerful about this is that she put that out there. She said, boom, I'm going for this. And I love that. Aim high, achieve goals, set goals, make shit happen, right? So often we don't do that. We don't put ourselves out there because, you know, like, what if something happens? Like, what if something comes up? Well, if something comes up, you change it up, right? Like, you would do anything. And I think so often we end up getting kind of consumed by the operational, consumed by the fact that things could just come up. And yeah, things could come up, but that's life, Right. And you'll be able to be flexible or nimble. That's what makes a good sports star. That's what makes a good track star, is that they keep running. Right. If something comes up, or if it, on the field, they can move around obstacles and things. That's what we got to do. I mean, we got to keep pushing and keep making things happen. So the final kind of piece in this that I want to share before we turn it over to our discussion with Joe is that a couple strategies on how a leadership performer would look, or how that kind of takes place. One is to continually conduct a personal SWOT. I'd imagine all of you guys know what a SWOT is, but if the happen chance that you don't, a SWOT is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, right? So just doing a personal SWOT over and over. And I think that that's important because people get lazy. I get lazy. We all get lazy. Well, I don't actually ever get lazy. My husband wishes I got lazy a little bit more than I did. It usually takes a gnarly hangover for me to get really, really lazy. But nonetheless, do a personal SWOT once in a while. And the idea that to get yourself going of where it is that you want to be and how it is that we can, you know, shift the focus if you need to shift the focus. The second piece is a life plan. And I think a life plan is important because it's a whole self perspective. I ask my staff to create a life plan, or the people that work with me, my team, my colleagues, my peers, my staff, to do a life plan, because it includes their spiritual self, their social, their personal, their home, their family, whatever it is, their health, right? Their money, their career, all those pieces. Because at the time that they spend with me, I want to help them achieve their career goals, but I also want to help them achieve their life goals, because it's all the same. Life balance is just baloney from my perspective. Really, it's all just one achievement. And how is it that we're going to help each other go after that? Marshall Goldsmith outlines and discusses, and he's somebody that I had an opportunity to work with in this Strategic MVP book, but he talks about discovering your mojo, the thing that you're passionate about, the thing that you love to do. So, you know, I urge you to go check out his, you know, Discovering Your Mojo. But it's this idea of finding the thing that you just get stoked to do. I actually asked my husband about work, because he's been on jury duty, believe it or not, for like a week and a half, which is civic duty, and I don't want to push anybody for not liking that. But he's been on jury duty. And one of the things that I asked him, are you happy to be back to work? And he's like, well, it's work, but I guess I'm happy to be back. And I go, do you not like work? And he goes, well, it's work. And I thought to myself, I love to work. Do you not love to work? And it was like this moment that we had. It was either this morning or last night. And later I'm going to kind of do one of these with him, because he's got to love to work. There's a funny quote that in the process of writing the book, we also got to interview some pretty amazing people. And one of those was Warren Buffett. And he said, putting off your passion is like saving up sex for old age. It's just not a good idea. So you got to go after your passion. So you want to be able to cultivate and fine tune who you are and how that speaks to your brand and how that is to your leadership brand, who you want, what you want to accomplish, your voice, your brand, your leadership journey. So as we transition here to talk to Joe, I want to open it up with probably the best shout out I've ever received and I will ever receive. And that is from one of my beefcakes, the beautiful little six-year-old James.
You're listening to my mommy on Strategic Hot Box. Listen up, because she's smart and cool. What are you waiting for?
If a six-year-old says that you're cool, I mean, I feel like that's a massive accomplishment. But my baby, he's absolutely delicious. So thank you to my Deuterama, James. And with me as a mom rooting him on, I feel like he'll be taking over the world in no time. At this point, I would like to introduce a good friend, and also I feel like part of the family, Joseph Schrader, Joe Schrader. He's the president and CEO of Ventura County Credit Union, which is now over $700 million in assets and serving over 70,000 members in Southern California. Now, you've been a CEO for a number of years in many institutions, mm-hmm. as well as a coach and a dad and a community leader. And we were just laughing, a contestant on the dating game,
yeah.
and a dancer, and also like a Dancing with the Stars Ventura. Was that salsa? What did you do?
That was salsa dancing.
Oh, and so what's your favorite role then? Is it boss, or is it salsa dancer?
It's definitely not salsa dancing. That moment scared me more than anything I've ever done in my life. In all the
really
athletic events where a free throw with 1 second left, the game is tied. None of that compared to how frightened I was
for salsa dancing
in front of a couple thousand people and searching for my inner Cuban, and I am still looking for that person.
Oh my gosh. So when it comes to leadership and salsa dancing, what items in your kind of journey, your background, experience really have shaped your style? What's your style?
Probably I was really fortunate to have just unbelievable parents, and that's where it all started. And the parents can get in your way, but mine didn't. And they allowed me to fail. My dad was really big about, he never rushed out after a game and hugged me. He was a man that thought that it was okay to fall down. You just got to, because that's what's going to happen in life. And dust your pants off and get up. And what are you going to do about it? He was famous for, you know, hey, let's feel sorry for you for 10 minutes and then get over
then
it
get over
and
it.
Do something. And that had a lot to do. And then I was really lucky to go to Catholic schools, and they had these unbelievable Irish nuns that you knew they loved you, but they were really, really tough on you and would not let you be lazy intellectually. They were going to push you to help you find how good you could be at something. And that just, that mixture of compassion, competitiveness, and push, and not being easy on you, really kind of helped me throughout my whole life.
Speaking of that, do you think that young leaders today are being pushed enough?
I think some are. I think others aren't, and they're not allowed to fail and then get over that failure, because that's all that you're going to fail.
Sure.
And I think people don't set 5-year and 1-year goals because they're afraid they're not going to reach them.
Right. Or the economy will crash.
Right. You know, and it helped me. So when I went to Cal Poly Pomona, I went there as a walk-on on the basketball team. And so by my second year, I found out something really important to me that really resonated with me for the rest of my life. I found out how good I wasn't. You know, I was not good enough to start on the varsity team. I wasn't. I'd love to be able to blame the coach. It wasn't the coach. It was me. I just wasn't good enough. And we all run into that athletically and even in our careers. Because even if you're brilliant, even if you're Warren Buffett,
right?
You know, like Warren Buffett freely admitted he stayed out of all technology stocks. He just didn't get it.
Right. Yeah.
And you got to know that and understand that. And then there's ways to manage that and get people around you who are good at technology or good at other areas. But you have to admit that you're not Einstein in all the areas.
Do you think that personal accountability is everything? From a scholastic standpoint, they call it locus of control. It's like an internal locus of control. It's random. But I have a very internal, and some have external, where they blame other things. And it drives me crazy when people blame others for things, that instead of saying, what can I do about this situation? It's like that accountability. What role do you think that plays?
I think it plays a huge role. And unfortunately, my generation in raising their children too frequently were given trophies away for finishing in fifth place. I mean, in my house, you can talk to my three children, there's no fifth place trophies. Now, I get it when you're 5 and 6.
Right.
In 7 80s, and all that. But
beyond that,
after a while, young people need to learn that you get a trophy or a ribbon for first place, not for fourth. And it's okay, because at that moment, you have to decide what you're going to do about it. I'll never forget. I have an identical twin. We were in Little League and we were 11 years old, and I thought I should make the All-Star team. My twin brother made the All-Star team and I didn't.
Oh.
And the harder I tried not to cry, the bigger the tears.
Oh, no.
And we were walking out to the parking lot, and God love my father for this. He didn't hug me. We just walked out, and he looked forward, and he said, well, it's a decision time for you. I think you should have made the All-Star team, but you didn't. So now you can either play baseball for fun and just show up next year, or show every damn coach that they were wrong and be the best player in Little League next year.
Oh, good for him.
And then he walked off. Didn't say anything. You know, we didn't hold hands. And he didn't go.
How old were you?
I was 11.
Wow. Wow.
And the next year, I was.
You showed him his boss?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And in fact, it got a little carried away because we were in the All-Star game. I hit a home run. And the coach didn't bat me in the lineup where I really thought I should be. And so I gave everybody on the team a high five and just went right by the coach.
Uh-oh.
Now that's not
always the respect you should.
Right. That's kind of shitty on my part, but but that's how intense I was about that. And that's okay. I like intensity and I'm willing to give people a lot of room. And they're going to make mistakes, maybe say things that they shouldn't say. But that's all right. If you're going to fall down, just keep marching forward. Don't fall down when you're retreating.
Right, right. So what advice then do you have for people that are emerging? Now, that emerging term is so loosely used, so I don't mean it from a sense of young necessarily or untenured. Right. It's more just a C-suite executive that wants your job and that's racing you to your chair. What advice do you have for them?
I really think the one of the most important skills you can have is to be inquisitive. And to be inquisitive, you have to be prepared so that you can ask the right question. So you got to be really well read. And, you know, whenever I went into a new credit union when I was a CEO and I've been at three or four, one of the first things I always did is I went in and sat in the call center for a half a day. And then I would turn around and ask the employees, hey, what do the members care about? What are they complaining about? What's right and what's wrong? And, you know, and then just keep being inquisitive because the mistakes I've made is when I haven't been inquisitive enough. Even I'll be 62 in a couple of weeks. Even at 62, I have to be more inquisitive.
Asking the questions.
Right.
And do you think that people then get beyond themselves? They get a little too cool?
I guess they do. I'm not real tolerant in with people that are too cool. I love humor, and I think it's just a wonderful tool to have in your toolbox. But the too cool thing is
Do you see people not earn it ever?
Yes, it happens. as my dad said, life's not going to be fair.
Yeah.
But you just need to adapt, and it's not going to be fair. Don't complain about it. Move on. And if you're in an organization that consistently isn't fair, get out of that organization.
Sure, right.
Because that will culturally corrupt you.
Right, right. It'll become part of your norm. What's a disaster or something that you've survived, you've learned from, or something that's, you know, like a funny now, crazy then?
Well, in a work standpoint or?
It could be either or that's led to your leadership.
I had a heart attack on January 4th. And 60 days before that, I was in my doctor's office and he said I was a stud. And I was really happy about that. I was up in the High Sierras, woke up with some significant chest pain and got my son up and said, you better take me to ER. I was in Mammoth and they flew me into Reno. And a shout out to the renowned hospital. I landed at 11 o'clock and by 11:50, I was out of the operating room and they put a stent in.
Wow.
That changed me. The flight from Mammoth to Reno, it was like a giant slideshow of your life, and you have no control over the visuals come in front of you and not in chronological order.
Really?
And it's
chills.
I know. And at the end of it, the EMT guy looked at me and said, Joe, why are you smiling? You know, you're having a heart incident. I said, I just went through my life and I'm okay. Not perfect, but I'm okay. And then I looked at him and said, I'm not dying, and I got a lot more to do. But it was a great shot across my bow, depending upon spiritual beliefs and all that. I'm more spiritual than I am religious. But it was, I got a chance to look at my whole life and said, okay, I know I'm not perfect, but I've done a lot of good things. And then that's really helped. It's It puts an unbelievable perspective in your life.
Yeah. Ah, making me like.
Yeah.
Can't hide this from the camera.
That's all right.
Wow. That's intense.
And so, I wasn't supposed to have a heart attack.
Because
I was a stud, right? I mean, that's what I just got told. And other people had heart attacks, not me.
Right.
Wow. So,
so does you feel reinvigorated for the future?
I did, but not on a, I'm going to work harder, but it was like, I became more committed to my personal beliefs about giving back to the community, how I want to treat employees, and how I just want to be a neighbor.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And I'll tell one story about it that has really helped me in my life. So when I was 17, 18 years old, I was just getting out of high school, going to college. I worked at the Johnny Wooden basketball camps. And so some weeks I wasn't at the camp. So one week I came home, my dad said, hey, you've got a need to help Mrs. Williams and paint her house. Mm-hmm. She's one of our neighbors. Well, her name was Wiggy. And everybody has a Wiggy on their block. Nobody liked her. If your ball went on her yard, she would come out and steal it. And nobody liked Wiggy. So here I am, 18, and my dad said, she's a widow, and she's, we weren't wealthy. We were very, very middle class, and Mrs. Williams didn't have a lot of money, so I painted her house, and she paid me, stupidly low money, and micromanaged me straight to hell. And I got that done. And then my dad said, well, how much did she pay you? And I said, whatever it was, $240. My dad reached in and gave me $240 of his own money.
Wow.
Never told Mrs. Williams. And I said, Dad, Mrs. Williams hasn't been a close neighbor to us. He goes, it's the right thing to do, Joe. And I didn't realize it at the time. I so realize that now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to do things for people around you that's just the right thing to do, even if they would never do it for you.
Right. I love that.
And it's just, now I get it. And so my mom and dad were more, I'm going to show you rather than tell you.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So one final takeaway for advice for leaders.
Be overly prepared, listen, and then be inquisitive and keep asking questions.
I love that. And if people want to get in touch with you, should they go to your website?
Or my email address is jschrader@vccuonline.net.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for being here. I really appreciate hearing your stories. And you touched all of my heart and everything else today. Yeah, made me laugh and cry in front of all of these cameras. I can't even believe it. But thank you. I really appreciate it. Now let's check out this other shout out.
Hey y'all, my name is Jared Freeman. I'm the president and CEO of ASC Credit Union, and you're listening to Brandy Stankovic with the Strategic Hotbox. Hope you enjoy.
And thank you to Jared for sending us that shout out. I think he has a couple things going for him. Obviously, he's a brilliant and a CEO that's working hard down in Alabama, but he's also hot and has an accent. So he's probably totally going to kill me for saying that on the video. But if you ever want to send us a shout out, please do visit thestrategichotbox.com for more information. So now it is time to kick some ass, and here are the takeaways for you today. First, we want to formalize our leadership goals. So whether that is, basically just get them on paper, get them written down, do whatever you have to do to make them formal and review, and something that you can just structure. So there's measurable components to it. There's something that you can follow up on. You can be more accountable to the points that Joe was making, that leadership goals should be taken as seriously as your budgeting goals, your financial goals, your time goals, because in reality, we treat our money as sometimes our most important asset. And I think actually our time and our life, our passion, our love, the things that Joe is describing, his neighborly, reaching out to people, the things that just are right, is really what's most important. And so how are you budgeting that? How are you formalizing and measuring that? So make that the priority in your leadership journey. The second is continually check in on that SWOT. So don't be lazy. Make sure to check in on what your strengths, your weaknesses are. Know where you're at in your journey. Know what opportunities and things that you have. As Joe mentioned, be aware of what the organization provides, what your external factors are. So that way, if you need to switch things up, do. Don't be a victim of your organization. Make lateral moves to get around roadblocks if necessary. Do whatever you got to do to keep your eye on the prize. Number three, include the whole self as a part of your life plan. Don't forget to include the family, the children, the life, the social, all of those aspects included in the money and the career. Many of you guys do that anyway, but I think that sometimes our social capacities, looking out for you, our health, some of those things are just as important because as we learned in our, what the stories that Joe shared, some of that can be taken away or changed significantly in an instant, even after when we're in this moment of thinking that we're a stud or thinking we're invincible or just thinking that we're healthy. But I mean, even not even having higher expectations or just thinking that we're healthy, things can change. And so be open to the moment of including the whole piece and knowing what we want to accomplish. Discovering our mojo, our passions, the things that make us love what we do every single day. Don't save that. Don't have contingency plans. People always talk about, I will do this once I, the most common ones are things like once I lose 5 pounds, I'll be happy or I'll be doing these different things. Or once I, whatever, don't do that. Do those things now, because if you don't, life could go by. Years could go by. Use the fine china. I mean, what if the kids mess up the couch? Whatever, right? I mean, I think at the end of the day, you have to live, because if you don't get the opportunity, then you'll have wished you would have. And finally, cultivate that personal brand. Find out what it is that you want to be accomplishing, whether it's to be the broader neighbor or to go after life or to spend more time with family or to accomplish these different leadership goals. I think really understanding that brand, those passions, those all of that just really comes to become the grander leader. And it really is the pro forma. Project that in the future. Take a look at the Morlake and things that she's accomplishing based upon what she's projecting. And she's going after it. She's stopping it nothing to make that happen. I had the opportunity to see Magic Johnson speak at a conference, and he had that same just relentless drive that he would watch videos of himself and say, okay, here's what I did great and here's what I didn't do great, and then would fix it and would spend hours after everybody else had stopped practicing, hours on just those things until he got better at that, because it was important to him to improve. And that's key. I mean, if you really want something, do it. I was talking to somebody the other day that was just a crazy hard worker, and they're like, oh, I don't really drink. If I had more time, I would, whatever. I'm like, if you wanted to drink, you would. Quit saying blah, 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 blah. Because if you wanted to drink, you would, right? If somebody wants something, they do it. Almost all people, if they're tired in the afternoon and whatever, and you got a call from a significant other that something was wrong with your children, something was wrong with somebody that was really important to you, you'd have enough energy to stand up and take care of it. Right? We've talked about this idea before, but that energy is inside of you. You can guarantee that when Joe made the call to his son, even if it was in the middle of the night or late at night, he was up, he was there, he was taken care of, he was doing whatever his dad needed in that moment. Because that's what you do, right? And if that energy is there inside of you, use it. Use it on the things that you want to be accomplishing. No more excuses. No more excuses. It's time to make things happen. It's time to kick some ass. So as we wrap today, I want to thank you for being a part of the Strategic Hot Box. Thank you again to Joe Schrader for being here and sharing your love and your stories with us. We'd love to hear from any of you on topics that you would like to discuss or tackle here in the Strategic Hot Box. Share your thoughts with us on Twitter or Instagram at Brandy Love. That's BrandiLuv. Or email podcast at strategichotbox.com. Be sure to add us to your favorite RSS, and we'll just keep the episodes coming your way. Or you can download them at thestrategichotbox.com. And of course, you have that Strategic MVP book. We referenced it a few times today with Warren Buffett and Marshall Goldsmith. They're there with all the executive coaching exercises. I co-wrote that with Mark C. Thompson, and it's available to you at any book retailer. Would love for you to check that out as well. So thank you very much again. And until next time, go kick some ass.